According to Psalm 89:34, it says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." Every covenant of God is binding and is in effect as long as the earth remains. When we pray, it is important that we understand why we don't get answers to prayer and how we will get answers to prayer. How many want answers to your prayers? I know, I don't know about you, but I really believe that we ought to get all of our prayers answered. And there's a way to do this. Listen to what it says in James 4:1-3. It says, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even out of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and yet you have not because you ask not." We said last night that some of us don't receive simply because we don't ask. We need to ask God for things. We need to petition heaven. We need to be asking constantly for God. I mean, God gave us that as an indication. He told us, he said, "Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and he'll direct your path." How many of you know if we'll acknowledge him, he will direct our path. I want God to lead me. I want God to guide me. I want God to direct me. And so he tells me he'll do this. He says, "And I have not because I ask not." And then he goes on to say this, "You ask and you receive not." There are times when we're asking, but we're not receiving. How many of you have ever asked something you didn't receive it? Now, if you didn't raise your hand, either you just don't feel like raising your hand or you're just telling a story. Amen. We have all asked for things and didn't get it. Amen. We ask and we didn't get it. We ask and we didn't get it. There's no, you know, it's every born again believer. But there is knowledge here inside of this scripture that will clarify to us the reasons we don't receive. And I'm going to give you several because I want to give you 8 keys to answered prayer. 8 fundamentals to answered prayer. And so we started with one of them last night, but listen to this. We ask and receive not because we ask amiss, that we may consume it on our own lust. The word amiss there means improperly or wrongly. We ask improperly or wrongly. We either ask for the wrong thing or we ask improperly the wrong way. You got it wrong. Look at somebody and say, "You got it wrong." If God is a covenant God, and he is, and his covenants are always in place, and they are, and his side of the covenant is always done, I want you to look at somebody and say, "It's never." Find somebody. I mean, really look at somebody in the eyes. I mean, find somebody. Have you found somebody yet? You don't have to get so close as to smell their breath. Amen. Have you found somebody? And say, "God is never the problem." Somebody ought to shout out amen right there. God is never our problem. God has never been our problem. God will never be our problem. It's never God's fault. It's not God's fault. If we didn't receive, if I don't have what God wants for me, it is not God's fault. Now, many of us have put blame on God. We spend a lot of time putting blame on God. Churches put blame on God as if God has something to do with my lack of receiving. But not according to this scripture. I just read to you what the Bible says. I just showed you clearly why people don't receive. Can you see it? He said, "You ask and you don't receive. You ask and you don't receive." Say to somebody, look at somebody and say, "You don't receive because either you didn't ask or when you ask, you ask wrong." Amen. There's been times that my children have come in and said, "Dad, I would like to blah, blah, blah," and they want to get something. And depending on how they ask, does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, they come in and demand it. "I want such and such, and I want so and so." You know, it gets old going to the store and hearing your kids say, "I want, I want, I want." Does anybody have a child? Everywhere you go, you go to the store. Any store you go to, "I want, I want, I want, I want." I think sometimes that's my name, "I want." That's not my name. And I'll tell them, no, you're not going to get. because they asked wrong. Now, I'll tell you how it does work. If you come up in my house, and I'm not saying this is how God works. I'm just saying so you can understand sometimes we need a little visual interpretation. When my kids come crawl up in my lap and tell me how much they love me, how many know what I'm talking about? I mean, I just turn to butter. Amen. I'm ready to give them anything they want when they are asking the right way. According to this scripture, there is a right way and a wrong way to ask. And I'm telling you tonight, I am telling you, I don't back up from this. I'm not shying away from it. I am not afraid of it. It's because we either don't ask. We don't ask. The Bible says ask. Some people tell God. You don't tell God, you ask God. Amen. I'm preaching real good already. Amen. Just getting started. I'm already hot. Amen. Yes, this is teaching now. This is not preaching. So get it. Understand. This is like being in school tonight. That we're to understand we didn't get it because we didn't ask right. We asked amiss. We got it wrong. We didn't get it right. You ask using the wrong code. You ask it the wrong way. Listen to John, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him. We are to have a confidence in God. There is an assurance in God. You and I are to live a life of assurance. There's assurances. We are assured. Look at somebody and say, it's guaranteed. We can have confidence in it. You know, if you have confidence that you go outside and start your car, it's going to start. Then you're assured of that. You walk out with a knowledge of that. Now, God's not a man that he should lie, and he is a covenantal God. He doesn't alter his side of the covenant. I'm always guaranteed his side works. It's never God's fault. If I'm going to defend anybody, it's going to be God. Somebody said, well, you don't know my Aunt Gertrude. Gertrude had pictures all over her wall. She had post-its everywhere you went. Her bed was covered with post-its about healing, and yet she didn't get healed. Well, I don't know what happened between her and God. I don't know what happened between her and her flesh. I don't know what happened between her and her word level. I don't know what happened between her and her obedience. And I could keep going, but this is what I do know. It wasn't God's fault. Amen. Yes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look at somebody again and say, it's never on God. Never because of God. We have a confidence. We should have confidence in prayer. We should know that when we pray, we're going to get an answer. Here's what it says. He says, we are confident in this, that we have in him, that if we ask anything, say anything, according to his will, anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. I am guaranteed that I have accessed heaven through his will. I am absolutely positive. There is no doubt. I am confident in him, knowing that when I come to him with his will, I got an audience. Come on, somebody shout out amen. See, we've been taught that maybe God might, that some churches even told us that God says, hey, yes, no, and maybe. How many know there's no maybe in God? He's the God that said, all my promises are yes. And amen. There's no yes, no, and maybe. You didn't get it because you didn't ask right, or you didn't ask. I'm to have confidence knowing that when I come to God with his will, maybe I didn't come to God with his will. Maybe I came to God with my will. Somebody say amen. I don't know what stopped your blessing. I don't know what hindered your prayers, but I know it wasn't God, because God's side's fixed. God's side is already guaranteed. I can have that confidence. He's not going to waver from his part of the covenant. He won't waver ever from what he does. He will never be anything but good. He will never be anything but God. If God does not have it now, he never will have it. If God cannot do it now, he never can do it. How many know God does have everything, and God can and will do everything? He's omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing. Somebody say amen. He's fixed. He'll never, ever change. The only thing that changes is us. It's our circumstances. So God is not your problem. I think we ought to say that one more time. God is not my problem. Add this to it. Ever. Not ever. Don't go there. Don't allow anybody to teach that. The message matters, folks. I said this last night. Message matters. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Don't you give God any credit for bad things, negative things, terrible things. He said we have problems because we lust, because we war, because we fight, and we don't ask, and we ask amiss. Somebody ought to say amen. 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 I'm going to teach. I'm not going to preach. Amen. I'm about to get to preaching here, and I better slow up a little bit. I can have confidence that I ask anything according to his will. Anything, we know he hears us. And whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him. The path to commit God to hear us is his will. His will. It's not asking him what his will is if we already know what it is. If I already know the will of God, I'm not asking him to give me another will. Let me give you an example, because that just went over somebody's head, I could tell. You see, the Bible says, for instance, that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I'm not having to go to God at this moment, if sickness is attacking my body, and question his will on that matter. It's already settled. Look at somebody and say, it's settled.
It's settled.
Healing is the children's bread. That's what it said. Healing is the children's bread. I'm not having to go to God and ask, what is your will concerning this matter? I already know his will. I go to God with his will in this matter. I go to him and I say, God, your will for my life. He said, beloved, I wish above all things, 3 John 2, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Every day I pray about my prosperity. I thank him that his word is settled, forever settled. He's settled. And I rest on the settled word of God. I settle on the settled word. Amen. I settle on the settled word. Somebody say, I settled on the settled word. I don't have to wonder whether God wants my bank account full or empty. I already know he wants my bank account full. My cup's going to run over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't have to ask him what his will is there. He said that he would give me divine peace. I don't have to ask him. He said, let the poor say I'm rich. Let the weak say I'm strong. I don't have to wonder whether God wants me strong or not. I know God wants me strong. Somebody ought to shout out amen. See, I rest in the settled word. I settle in the settled word. Now, are there times that I ask God for his will? When it comes to his direction for my life, when it comes to things that I am wanting to do, that I want to have a direction for, that are not in his word, that are not written and spelled out for me, I still have his will on it. I know that he wants me to have a marriage one day. For instance, I knew when I was looking for a wife, God said he that finds a wife finds a good thing. I already knew that the word of God said, I'm going to find a wife and she's going to be a good thing. But I wanted to make sure I was selecting the good one. Does anybody understand what I just said? Because I could have got a rotten apple. I went hunting. I went finding. Now, some people never do that. They don't understand that you got to put feet to your faith. Amen. They sit at home talking about wanting a job, and they don't ever pick up the phone or fill out an application. You got to fill out an app and do an interview. Amen. Jobs don't just call you. Now, that might miraculously happen to you. I'm not suggesting that it couldn't. But I would tell you this, you'd be better off filling out an application and going for an interview.
Amen.
And then say, God, is this the job? I know God wants me to have one. If a man doesn't work, somebody ought to shout out amen right there.
Amen.
I already know his settled word. If I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, then I know I have the petitions I've desired of him. I might need to select among alternatives, but the alternative will always end if I've listened to God in his will. Somebody ought to shout out amen. We have not because we ask amiss. Maybe you went and looked at a house And you said, God, this is my house. Now, I've got a lot to say tonight, so I better hurry. This is my house. And you just went in there and said, I want this house. Right here, I want this one. How many of you understand that would be asking amiss?
That's right.
First of all, you can't manipulate people in prayer, ever. Everyone has a free will. And you can't manipulate the people with your prayers. God will not manipulate anyone. That's first of all. So you couldn't drive up to a house that somebody wasn't selling. Now you could go up and say, this is the house, Lord. This is the house that I want. And what you would really mean is, I want a 2-car garage. I want 2 acres of land. I want 2 bathrooms. I want 4 bedrooms. I want an attic. And you saw an image of what you wanted. But you better be careful that you don't pick that one. See, you have not because you ask. If you narrow it down to that house on that driveway in that neighborhood, you might get the one that has roaches or termites. And yet God has that house on another street for a better price, because he'll give you the desires of your heart. And when he gives them to you, he gives them to you according to his will. Many people have gotten discouraged because they went to buy a house and maybe they didn't get the one that they had. They stood on that corner. They claimed it in the name of Jesus. Well, don't claim that house. Claim that house. I wish somebody understood what I just said. And there are times when it will be that house. There are times when it could be that guy. I've often said this. Let's just imagine when I was growing up, they taught us, and I'm going to get to more of this, but as I get to teaching, I pick stuff up. When I was growing up, they taught us that there was one person in the world for you. I was taught that, you know, that there was one that fit you and that God had the one. Anybody ever been taught that? The one. And so, you know, many people got messed up. Maybe they made a mistake in their sexual life and slept with somebody. And then all of a sudden they felt like they had to marry them. Because that had to be, you know, I sinned and, you know, and all that. And so because they slipped up in that area, and then they ended up in divorce later because it wasn't God speaking and it wasn't their brain speaking. It was their physical body speaking. I wish somebody shout out amen. But I found out that there's an image that God had for me. Now, Amy happens to be the one. Now, let me explain that to you. When I was dating, there were many people, maybe around the world, that may have fit Stephen McCart. There were many. There were many that had the education level I wanted, that had the mentality that I wanted, that had the humor that I wanted, that had the job and work ethic that I wanted. There were. And then I started dating Amy because she was a desire of my heart. She fit that image. I didn't come down off of my standards, by the way. Amen. You should have standards in dating. Somebody say amen. I just threw that in for free. That didn't cost y'all nothing. Amen. And so then we began to get serious. I put a ring on her finger and we got married. At the moment I married her, she is the one. She's not a one. She becomes the one. Because at that moment, all that could have been, no longer exists for me. Does that make sense? But when looking for Amy, I asked God, is this someone that I can marry? Is this someone that I fit, that fits me? And I listened to my spirit. You know, this is the true matter. I'm just going to tell you this. If we could listen to the Holy Ghost 100% of the time, and I know you can't because we don't have the Spirit without measure. But if we could, you know, we'd never have to date. You wouldn't even have to date. You could walk down the street and the Lord would say, turn left, turn right. He's in that store right there in them blue pants. Amen. We would run into them by the Holy Ghost, or they would find us By the Holy Ghost. Of course, dating is a ritual that we have produced here, and I don't want to diminish that because it does give you a chance in America to, you know, do some things, but you still should listen to your spirit man. You should be listening to the Holy Ghost. You don't just jump into something. Wait on God. No matter where you're at, what position you are in life, wait on God. So you have not because you ask not, and you ask amiss, the wrong way. You did it wrong. I suggest to you, if you did it wrong before, don't do it wrong again. How many know there are do-overs in life? Look at somebody and say, I'm ready for a do-over. Maybe you don't really need one, but there might be somebody in this room that might need a do-over. Amen. Now, if you're married and all that and you ain't got a divorce, you don't looking for a do-over. Amen. You're looking for a fixer-upper. Amen. You're not looking for a do-over. Amen. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say. I'm just playing. So he says the path to commit God to hear us. We can commit God to his word. We can commit him to his word. He will hear us if we ask anything according to the rules, properly presented, correctly stated. We can know we got it. We can know we got through. I want you to think back. I'm making good points tonight about maybe some of you didn't get answers to prayer. You know, a real prayer is one that you just don't let go of. There have been people, we prayed prayers that we didn't really mean. I mean, they went out of our mouth, but, you know, 2 months later, we didn't even remember we prayed them. Come on. A real prayer is one you really mean. Somebody say amen. So key number one, we said, is we must pray from the heart. It is not a head prayer that gets answered. It's a heart prayer. You and I must pray from the spirit man, from out of our spirit. We must engage our spirit. It must be a serious, real, heartfelt, fire-breathing prayer. We don't just spout out words that mean nothing. They're not going to get answered. It has to come out of your spirit. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on his height or on his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeks not a man or seeth not a man as a man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Look at somebody and say, God looks on your heart. God looks on your heart. God is the examiner of the heart. It's not just your words that are coming out of your mouth. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth should be speaking. It's of your heart. Is your heart talking? Or is your head talking? Is your heart engaged? Your spirit must be engaged in your prayer that God must hear. The heart in the Bible is oftentimes used to express the spirit man or the middle man, in between the mind of a man and the emotions of a man and the will of a man and his flesh is the spirit. It should be in control, and our spirit should be what's speaking between the soul and the flesh. Our spirit should be engaged. We can't just come to it and not have a spirit engagement. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. You find him with all your heart. Listen to Jeremiah 29:13. You shall seek me and you'll find me. There are many people that are in love with church. They like the image of church. They like the idea of church. But he says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. It did not say all your time. I'm glad of that. Because I need time for my kids. I need time for my wife. I need time for you. I need time for my staff. I need time for Pastor Reggie and others in my life. So it didn't say all my time. It didn't say all my emotions. It said that you seek me with all your heart. How many of you know sitting in this room, there's a difference between your head and your heart. Come on now. And you can know, you and I, we all in this room know when we just que sera, glibly went before God and just met with God in some glib fashion and just went, you know, just, and I mean, you, it's, then God, it's not about time, because you could have your whole heart engaged in 1 second, or you could have 10 minutes and have no heart in it at all.
That's right. Amen.
Say amen. That's why he said, don't come and pray like the Pharisees and the publicans with your much speaking and your much words, because it was just ramblings from the head, ramblings from the mouth. He said, instead, come a different way. We are to come out of engaging our heart. When you come before God, come with your heart. I wish somebody would say amen right there. If you'll seek me with all your heart. When you give God your time, whatever amount it is, when you are going to saturate yourself with God, when you're going to dedicate a moment to the Lord in the middle of your busy day, God didn't say you have to give him all your time. We just should never feel guilty because we have things that happen in our life, jobs, schools. God doesn't have problems with that. But he does have problems if when you come, he's not the sole purpose that you're there while you're there. And you know the difference. If you're going to give him 5 minutes of your day, exclude everything else and give him your 5 minutes. I mean, give him your heart. And when you pray, pray out of your heart. I want to make this clear. Today I came in and just spent some time in the prayer room. That wasn't a lot of time. It may have been 30, 45 minutes. And I just was in there praying, seeking the Lord. But I abandoned everything else. I cut off everything else. I turned off everything else. And I said, this is my meeting time with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Don't pray watching your television. Amen. Don't tell me you had a prayer meeting while you were watching Clemson. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm going to share God with Clemson. God said, when you come with all your heart. I think God would rather you gave him 5 minutes of dedicated, committed communion than give him 100 hours of mixed up mess. I wish somebody shout out amen.
Amen.
It'll mean something. Make it mean something. Just like he said, honor the Lord with all your heart. Lean not. Honor God. Honor him with your substance, with your increase, and the fruit of your ground. Honor the Lord. When we come into his presence and we begin to pray and we come before him and we say, God, I've come to commune. I've come to spend time with you. You know, it kind of reminds me of my wife. She'll walk in the house and she just wants to talk sometimes. Men, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm sitting there watching something on television. And I'm just going, and she's sharing some depth of her heart. Today, Stephen was at school. Blah, 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 blah. And I'll be watching her and listening at the same time. And I always tell her I am. Men, you know exactly what I'm saying. She'll say, you're not even listening to me. Men, have you, anybody in this room that's a man had that happen to raise your hand? See all of y'all. Look at all y'all. You're not even listening to me. You're not even listening. And then I'll say, I heard every word you said. Women, you know, you've heard that before. Right? I heard what you said. She said, well, what'd I say? And I can spout back something. She say, oh, I'm not. Well, forget it then. I love it when they do that, right? Everyone, well, just forget it then. Now I'm ready to turn the television off. Wait, baby, wait. Wait, oh, wait. I feel like we do that to God. The Holy Spirit comes in. It happens in our services. He comes in and his presence settles in the room. And then we get distracted by something that's going on in our life. We allow circumstances and things to distract us. And then we become occupied by God and something. God wants your heart. And if you're going to get your prayers answered, God wants a communion that is not mixed up with other stuff. Somebody say amen. Engage your heart. John 4:24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him out of their heart. Out of your spirit flow the rivers of life. Out of your heart. Amen. Just serving God is not just this emotional thing. Isaiah 26:9 says, with the soul I've desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me, I will seek you. Your answers are sure when we seek God this way. Seeking with all of our heart, God is the last stop. When we come, we must come to him as if we're a desperate man for water. We're desperate for God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, showing himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Jeremiah 30:21 says, and with their nobles shall they themselves of their governors shall proceed out of the midst of them, and I will cause them to draw near, and he shall appear unto me. For who is he that engages his heart? We must engage our heart. The engagement of our heart entitles us to testimonies. In engaging our heart is one of the most important things that we can do. Number two, we must pray according to the Word of God. We must pray according to the Word of God. We must locate what is written concerning our condition and what happened and how it relates to the happenings in our life. And by doing so, we commit God to its application. God's word will never void his word. When we take God's word to God, we commit God to his word. We don't commit God to our prayers. Now that's a great statement right there. Your prayers are not what commits God. It is his word and his honor and his integrity that commits God. If you're going to commit God to your prayer, it must be his words that you pray. That's very good right there. Amen. You change your circumstances based on the word of God. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Locate what is written. Look for what is written. He cannot deny what he said. He cannot deny himself. He and his word are one. It's the same. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. God and his word. Man, if you don't get this, God and his word are the same. If you're going to commit God, it's only through his word. Because him and his word, he and his word are the same. It is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself. You know, I was riding around today and Amy was thinking about 2013. It was one of the toughest years that Amy and I had ever been through in our ministry experience. It was, I can't even begin to express to you what we went through in 2013. By October 2013, Amy and I thought we were washed up. I'll just tell you the truth. I don't know whether some of you may have been in the church at the time, and there was a real struggle. People were struggling in the church. We were struggling, and we were just waiting on God. And it was because I made some decisions that the Lord did not tell me to make. I didn't ask him. This is why I'm telling you. I've learned from experience. And I don't recommend you have to do that. Why don't you learn from mine? Amen. Point up here and say, I'm going to learn from you. Amen. You don't have to do this. We didn't have to struggle. I can remember many times the Lord had told me, don't do this, do this, do another. Don't put them there. Don't put them in that position. Don't use them that way. And I did it in spite of what God told me. And I rushed ahead of God in something. And it cost me. It cost me dearly. But in that time, I knew enough to know God's word and God doesn't lie. And he said he would restore us. Amen. He said he would do it. He said we could redeem the time. Even though we've made a mistake. Now it wasn't sin. I didn't sin. I had not committed a sin. I do my best not to commit sin. How about y'all? But I had not obeyed God. And God wanted to keep me out of something and I didn't obey him. In the midst of all of that, I watched God do something. And some of this was financial that we were going through. And you know, during that time, there were some major offerings that came in. $12,000 and $15,000. One of them was $15,000. A man ran up to me in the middle of Sam's with a check for $16,000. It just ran up and gave me a check in the middle of Sam, $16,000. Another person, somebody came in and handed us $15,000. Another person had a settlement come through and they handed us $12,000. It just handed us that kind of money. And it wasn't just personally, it was for the church because I was dealing with issues here. And I thought about this, and the Lord really put it in my heart. You know, even in my failure, God remained faithful. Amen. Aren't you glad to know that even in your failure, I wish somebody said, I could run right there. I don't know about nobody else, but I could get up and take off a running right there. Even in the midst of my failure, God remains faithful. How many of you know God can't lie? Glory to God. Okay, I'm not supposed to preach now. I want you to know something. It's never based on you. It's based on His Word. Woo, glory to God. I'll tell you, Holy Ghost just came on me right just that minute. Woo, hallelujah. He remaineth faithful. He cannot lie. He remains faithful, folks. He cannot lie. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know who's sitting in this room tonight that came and said, I need answers to my prayers. I can tell you God's not the problem, but He's going to remain faithful to you. He's going to make sure to carry you through it. He'll take care of you in the midst of it. Now, we're not there today. We've watched God bail us out. We watched God pick us up and carry us through the mess. And it took a while to get out. Amen? Sometimes it takes a while to get out. And you'll begin to see daylight. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see the sunlight. And you're going to come out. And then before long, the thing is going to be washed away. And you're going to walk in that newness of life. See, that's, we've seen God do that. Somebody say amen. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny Himself. Whatever situation is going on in you and in your life, listen to me. God cannot deny Himself. Find the word on it. Find the word on it. It is impossible for God to lie. Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the beginning of the world. There are patterns on every subject in the Word of God. There's a pattern in prayer. It is to remind God of what He said. Prayer reminds God of what He said. Isaiah 43:26. You ought to write that scripture down and know it. He said, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. See, you're not supposed to be pleading alone. I wish somebody shout amen right there. Bring God's word to the table and plead with God. Plead with God. Prayer is a pleading. It's a case. It's a pattern being made. It's a court event. And we are making a plea, but we're not making that plea with our words. Our pleading is with His words. I wish somebody understood. They're words of commitment. His words of commitment. Commit God to it. God wants us to commit Him to it. He cannot lie. The Word of God is my heritage. And my heritage is entitlement. God is committed to His Word. Lawyers don't go into the courtroom and cry and beg to win their case. Lawyers don't go in and cry and beg to win their case. How many know that wouldn't work? You could come in and kneel down before the judge and say, please, I didn't mean to rob that store. You couldn't win the case with pleading that way. However, if you can produce the evidence, if you can produce the legal precedents, we go before God in legal authority. We take that legal authority before the devil, and we use that legal authority and that pleading with God and God's word to win our case in prayer. Somebody say amen. You argue your victory from the word. I'd write that down. You argue your victory from the word. Produce your cause, Isaiah 41:21. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King. John 14:13-14. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You don't cry and beg to win your case. Instead, you bring the facts of the Constitution of Heaven and make your case. Pray according to what God has written for us, because it's binding on God. What God has written is binding on God. It's written in God's Constitution, His Word. You know, when we come to you and say, have you found a word on it? This is why we say that. This is why we tell you, don't just come with some nebulous prayer that's not of your heart, that doesn't have heartfelt prayer in it, that's prayed amiss or prayed wrong. Come and pray and bring the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Number three, we pray with faith in Jesus' name. We don't just pray in Jesus' name. That's the mechanics of prayer. That is a mechanical process. If we're going to receive answers, we not only pray in the name of Jesus, we pray with faith in the name of Jesus. How many know there's a difference between just shouting Jesus' name and having faith in Jesus' name? There were some men, Ananias and Sapphira came up. They were going to cast out a devil. And the devil said, Peter, I know. I wish somebody would shout out amen right there. But who are you? Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? He'll say, I didn't know you. I never knew you. Isn't that true? Isn't that what it says? We must pray with faith in Jesus' name. Look at somebody and say, pray with faith in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus is our covenant access. John 14, 13 and 14. Whatsoever you ask in my name, it'll be done. John 16, 23 through 24. And you shall come and ask nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you've asked me nothing, or asked nothing in my name, and you shall ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Faith in his name. Ask. The guarantee that's included in you receiving prayer is through the name of Jesus and faith in his name. Acts 3:16. And his name, Acts 3:16. And his name, through faith in his name, made this man strong, whom you see. His name and faith in his name. Look at somebody and say, you got to have faith in his name. Our emphasis must be faith in his name. Faith must be injected in his name. Faith in his name. Not just his name. Faith empowers the name to deliver. Faith is a must. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are invoking the authority of that name. Jesus Christ, the anointed one, on the anointing on the anointed one. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ refers to the anointing on Jesus. And it's that anointing that we're seeking. The faith brings that anointing to bear. The anointing breaks the yoke. The name used with faith and the anointing comes on it. Acts 9:34. And Peter said to them, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Aeneas, I'm sorry. Acts 3:6 says that then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus and the anointing on that name, rise up and walk. The power is the faith in the name and his anointing. Faith in Jesus' name completes the code and equals like a warhead on a nuclear bomb. Faith arms the weapon. Somebody say amen. It is our redemptive heritage. We were given that name. We were given that name to believe. We must have faith in that name. Number four, we must pray boldly and not beggarly. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, if you want answered prayer, I'm teaching you tonight how to come to God in prayer. You must come to God boldly and not beggarly. Just shout that out. I will come to God, boldly and not beggarly. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. The way to come and the way you come matters. Amen. It matters how you approach God. Listen to me. I'm not just speaking up here, and this isn't just some seminar for you to walk away and not get anything from. The way you approach God matters. You must approach Him boldly. Come boldly and approach the throne with a consciousness of your right standing in Christ. You cannot come to Him like some worm. See, that's where we were in religious circles. When I was, I didn't know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I didn't know that. I thought I was a sinner saved by grace. I sang the song. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I really did. When I sang Amazing Grace, I kept singing, I'm a wretch. You understand? Who saved a wretch like me? Well, I want you to know something. When I got saved, I ceased being a wretch. Come on, somebody. I used to be a wretch. I'm not a wretch no more. And when I come to God, I can't come to God like I'm a wretch. We're being taught this in church. We're still singing that song that we're just sinners saved by grace. And we approach God as if we're unworthy of it. You are unworthy. There's none righteous, no, not one. But through Jesus, you were made worthy. You were made able to approach the throne of God with favor of God, with the intent of God. You're not to be, God didn't say you had to be perfect to come to His throne. He just said, come boldly. You're to come boldly. Amen. You may need to start off with, Father, forgive me. That's fine. But once you do that, just remember that whatever held you back before ceased to hold you back, because it can't hold you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Glory to God. People have felt little and small before God, and they've allowed their past and their moments before prayer to hold them hostage as if they were unworthy of God because of some error in their life or mistake they made. I want you to know something. You don't have to live in that kind of grief and that kind of bondage. You come before God, you ask Him to forgive you, and you begin to walk in His righteousness. But when you pray, you're not going to get healed because you were perfect. You're going to get healed because He was perfect. You're not going to get blessed because you were so great at business. You're going to get blessed because He's great at business. I wish somebody shout out amen.
Amen.
Your citizenship matters. When you come, you walk in like you're a citizen of heaven. You don't come in like you're not like you don't belong. You've been made an heir. A promise of the Father belongs to you. We are royal priesthood. How? Holy nation. Let us come boldly. We need to get our preaching straight. It doesn't mean we come arrogant. It doesn't mean we come without repentance. It simply means that we come with the knowledge that God will take care of my sin. And in taking care of my sin, He's going to take care of everything else. No weapon shall prosper against you. When you are in battle, He offers His righteousness for your covering and your conquest. God offered to us His anointing, His power, and His forgiveness, and His righteousness for our conquest and our covering. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you, glory to God.
Amen.
When you see something come and attack you and it looks like a weapon, you might be there right now. It might look like there's a weapon that's formed against you. That's the time to get up on your haunches and start dancing like a crazy man and start saying, bless God, this is anointed of God. It can't take me out. God said He's going to take care of me, that this thing isn't going to prosper. That's the time to shout, because you know God's for you. And if God be for you, what does it matter who's against you? You don't wait till the weapon is done away with for you to begin to shout. He said that no weapon. See, faith says it. Faith believes it. Faith realizes it. It's a revelation. You should already have it. Okay, there's a weapon, but I already know. I know. I already know the end result. I know how this is going to turn out. I know the end of the book. I've seen when it is. Ah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I try not to preach. I really try, but I tell you, I just want to take off to running. Oh, glory to God. There's a victory coming on the end. There is a power that's working on the inside of me. There's an anointing that's standing with me. There's a God who is for me, and it doesn't matter who's against me. There's an end result, and that end result is I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm going over. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. It's never God's fault. Glory to God. Man, I could stop right there. Every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment. Oh, man. That shall, says thou shalt, I'm in the gym now, I'm getting better. But I'm breathing hard and I ain't been doing much preaching. Every tongue that arise up against you shall judge it and condemn it. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the heritage. That's my heritage. That's my heritage. It's not just a good phrase. It's not just some colloquial expression. It is an absolute. That's the heritage of the saint. That every voice that rises up against me, I'll condemn that voice. That voice will be condemned. God will speak against that thing and shut that thing down. Everything that comes against you shall not prosper. Glory to God. Don't you let it stay. Don't let it stand. Amen. Glory to God. That's why you got to be, you really need to get this on your spirit. That's why this message, listen, I tell you what, we don't compromise this one bit, and why message matters. You get faith by hearing faith, and I'm telling you tonight, I'm going to build your faith. You don't have to keep a sickness. You don't have to keep a disease. If God will heal anybody of a disease, he will heal you of a disease. If God will bless any man on this planet, God will bless you on this planet. Woo! Because my God is no respecter of person. He don't treat me differently than he treats somebody else. If somebody else can drive a new car, then bless God, God's got a car waiting on me. If somebody else can put the keys in the door of a new house, then God's got a house waiting for me. If God will put money in somebody else's checkbook, then God will put money in my checkbook. Glory to God! Glory to God! Oh, Ramanda la Boshtabana! Repekeramun Sholobonde! Rebasudo Boshambrabaha! Oh, just pick that up a second. Nombre Rabasudia! So go Brambama Talama! Let it, come on! Come on, speak out that mystery! Shambrakaso Tolobone! Take your, come before his throne boldly! Glory to God. Oh. Kambra so robote mashena mana. Ramadola boshe. Ha ha ha. Ekaramunza bokoro boshia. Sembre mandoro bosera. If God will heal somebody else's marriage, God will heal my marriage. Oh, Rabbi, if God will provide a mate for somebody else, God will provide a mate for Habat. So, ha ta la mashena. Oh, glory to God. Ooh, he'll turn it around. God will turn it around. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Every time you are in battle, every time you are in battle, you have his righteousness. And with his righteousness, you have the right to approach the throne of God with all boldness. God confers on us His righteousness for our conquest. God confers on us righteousness for our conquest. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Glory to God. God doesn't want to leave. God will not leave you in your crisis. God will not leave you in your challenge. I'm reminded of what it would be like. I've seen many times in a church when there had been an accident and a parent had heard that a child was in an accident of some kind. You know, interesting, I'll give you an example. Paul, when we were in Philadelphia, little Brian climbed up this slide. It was a steep slide, very high. I couldn't tell you exactly how high, but it was high. I mean, high. And instead of sliding down the slide, he decided to slide down the rail of the slide. I don't know why. I mean, the slide was perfectly okay. Why the rail? When he did, he slipped off the top of the slide and fell on the ground. And when he hit the ground, he broke his arm. I remember when I caught up with them at the hospital. Do you know when I got there, I didn't chastise him because he slid down the side of the slide. I didn't attack him at that moment because he had made an error. What's wrong with you, Brian? Why did you shouldn't have been sliding down the side of that slide? You know why you got that broken arm? Because you didn't slide down the slide. If you'd have followed the rules, son. No, I was concerned about his freedom first. I want you to know something. God is concerned about your freedom first. God doesn't come and beat you up when you walk through the door. He comes and says, "Let's take care of the issue. Let's take care of the problem." You can walk in and realize it doesn't matter how you got there. I wish somebody hear what I'm saying, because I know God's all over this with me tonight. God is interested in your freedom. When you are challenged, you are His beloved. God, your Father, does not want to leave you in crisis. We come to God boldly. We come with faith in Jesus' name. We come with the Word of God, and we come with our heart. That's the first four. Now, I won't recap tomorrow night like I did tonight, and I will only cover the last four quickly. But I want you to know prayer can be greatly effective in our lives. You don't need to live a life that your prayers aren't working for you. You should be living a life that when you pray, you get answers. God says yes and amen.